Welcome in to another edition of SEC Nightcap. Got my old fashioned here after watching the games here on Saturday. Late as hell, thanks to Ole Miss and this 2-hour rain delay we had here. But I'm actually recording this while Ole Miss is whooping the hell out of Tulane. Didn't want to stay up till 3 a.m. putting this show together. But I'm back for a recap. My SEC power rankings just put them out. Feedback is coming flying in as per usual. This is the second time doing this, a video edition here, and also somewhat of an emergency podcast. If you're just listening, you're missing out on the YouTube. But hey, I updated my power rankings, so let's just get right into it after I take a sip of my old fashioned, of course. All right, so starting at the bottom, like usual. Vanderbilt, no surprise here. Stanford coming into Nashville. I thought it would be a big Stanford win, and it was. But hey, there was things to like here about Vanderbilt. I mean, clearly, David Shaw's got such a head start on Clark Lee on building up his program. Similar models. They want to be tough. They want to run the ball. Physicality. Former fullback there at Vanderbilt. That's what he's trying to bring to Nashville. And we saw bits and pieces of it. I mean, the score is 14-14 at one point. Vanderbilt even stuffed Stanford on a goal line there at the end of the first half. Some miscues right before half really set them back. Stanford ended up scoring, I believe it was 17 points right at the tail end of the first half and immediately into the second half. That was all she wrote. And Stanford controlled the game in the second half. But, you know, that was to be expected. Still got Vanderbilt last in the power rankings, but signs of life the last couple of weeks. Good things coming for the Commodores.
Number 13.
Remain at 13. South Carolina Gamecocks. And we're seeing the rebuild Shane Beamer's got on his hands. I mean, nobody, not even the biggest diehard Gamecock out there, thought that his team was going to win this weekend in Athens, despite the fact that we all had to hear repeatedly that South Carolina won there last year. But I mean, this was a no contest, and let's credit the Gamecocks for continuing to fight this whole time, because Georgia basically had their way with them. I mean, they were hitting the deep ball at any, whenever they wanted. There was even a goal line run where Georgia went up the middle. I don't know if I've ever seen an SEC football game goal line run up the middle, running back not even touched, touchdown. That's what happened in this game. South Carolina, so many issues on offense. The offensive line was god-awful, averaging less than a yard per carry there against the Bulldogs in the first half. They weren't protecting for the quarterbacks. Zeb Nolan had to leave the game. Luke Doty came in, looked, you know, decent. He was throwing the ball out there. He was running around. So that's a sign of progress there. But you're going up against arguably the top team in the nation, and we see how far the climb is for South Carolina. So again, better things ahead for the Gamecocks.
Number 12,
Tennessee. Beat the hell out of, who was it they were playing? Tennessee Tech, 56-0. Hendon Hooker gets the start, comes in. You know, up and down performance. He had four touchdowns. Again, I continue to think he's the better option over Joe Milton. We'll see if that remains to be the case when they go to Florida next weekend for the SEC opener. But, you know, again, Hendon Hooker, far from perfect here. You're seeing why it's a controversy. He had multiple turnovers, several fumbles, lost a couple. Some of them he even got back. But Tennessee Tech was just no threat for the Vols. Tennessee been searching for some turnovers, finally got it in bunches there against Texas Tech. 56-0. You'll take that any day, regardless of the opponent you're facing here. But there was just not much to be learned from Tennessee this week, aside from the fact that Hooker came in there, looked solid. Javonta Payton had a big game. So we'll learn a lot more about Tennessee next week when they go to the Swamp.
Number 11,
Mississippi State. This was tough. I know the fans are pissed. They should be. The SEC came out and said the refs blew it not only once but twice on the now infamous punt return. I mean, it was a wild play when I saw it live. I did not really catch the knee down with The Bulldog touching the ball with his knee on the ground should have been blown dead there. The FCC also has reviewed the film and said, hell, not only that, Memphis had two guys with, I believe it was the number 4 jersey on the field at the same time during that punt. It doesn't matter what the number is. You cannot have duplicate numbers on the field at the same time. Play should not have counted in multiple ways. Mississippi State got screwed there. But also, you know, they had opportunities in this game. They were up big. Looked like they were dominant. Hell, Cousin Shane shot me a text. Looks like I'm going to be right, 35-7. And this was in the second half he sent me this. Memphis' first score of the game was the defense. The offense was doing nothing. Mississippi State was shutting them down. Mississippi State was there on the goal line. I believe the score was 17-7. They went for it on 4th and goal from the 1, from the 2, something like that. And they did some asinine play, bad snap. It was just all disjointed. And basically from that point, it was Memphis kind of ruled this game. There was several missed 2-point conversions by Mississippi State. You know, really shot themselves in their foot. This offense has been a work in progress to this point, and it continues to be against Memphis that does not have a good defense. This is a troubling, troubling sign with LSU coming into town next week. So Mississippi State, number 11. Next on the docket.
Number 10.
Missouri Tigers, number 10. Again, you beat CMU, whatever the hell that is. Beat the pants off of them. You know, could have been 100-0 if you wanted it to be. Not a ton to learn from that game. But the fact that Kentucky, we'll get to them in a moment, struggled so mightily, not saying that necessarily hurts Missouri, but takes a little bit of shine off last weekend's contest, if you ask me. All right, number 9.
Number 9.
LSU. Leave it to them Tigers. Shane and I have sold them down onto the river, and what do? They come out and just destroy Central Michigan. I mean, this was a laugher. They scored 14 points in the first 5 minutes of the ball game. I believe it was 35-7 at one point. This was the coming out party. This is the Max Johnson. We thought we were getting 5 touchdowns thrown for the LSU quarterback. Kayshawn Boutte got one. Some of the freshmen, Jack Cohn, got a terrific touchdown in this game. Corey Kiner got it. I mean, LSU did basically whatever they wanted. They did have a big defensive bust. You don't want to see that. We've seen that way too many times here, LSU, over the last couple of seasons. But again, it's Central Michigan. Otherwise, I'd bump LSU up a little bit higher. But you win 49-21 at home. That's a great win. That's what LSU needed before getting into SEC play here.
Number 8.
Almost had to do an emergency podcast thanks to this team. I got to take a drink before I talk about them. Been hyping up the Kentucky Wildcats like it's nobody's business. They almost lost to UT Chattanooga. This is one of those games on our preview show. We didn't even preview it because there's no point, because it's a FCS. You're supposed to beat them by 50. And what happened? Kentucky, I know the score may not indicate it if you didn't watch it, 28-23. There was a 95-yard interception return there in the closing moments of the fourth quarter by Kentucky. Otherwise, UTC may have won this damn game. And this is supposed to be a new era for Mark Stoops and company. You just can't have this. I mean, you're trying to compete with Georgia and Florida in the East. You don't see Georgia or Florida struggling with UTC. I mean, give me a break. Will Levis continues to turn the ball over. Couldn't get the ground game going. I mean, certainly this looks the case to be just a team that was not ready to play, uninspired, just got the big win. Everybody's patting you on the back, looking ahead to SEC, a trip to South Carolina in the coming week. I get all that, but it was disgraceful. I mean, again, you almost lost to UT Chattanooga at home. No excuse for that. Big slide for the Kentucky Wildcats. Now you show back up in SEC play, we'll move you right back up the list.
Number 7,
moving them up despite losing on the field. The Auburn Tigers go to Penn State. Shane and I both picked Auburn to win outright. Didn't get it done. Some questionable play calling there. What in the hell? 4th and goal, you were throwing a fade. with Bo Nix. We got Mr. Tank Bigsby back there heating up. That made no sense. Mike Bobo may get the bonehead coach decision of the week in the SEC, but you know, this was a hard-fought game on the road. It was obviously an incredible atmosphere. If you missed it, nationally televised, whiteout. Penn State came to play. So did Auburn. And this was a really back-and-forth contest. I really think, I know the margin here may not suggest it here. Auburn did have the ball late in the game, driving to try to tie the game. 28-20 was the final. Auburn could have easily won this game. A couple miscues late in the second half really kind of did the Auburn Tigers in, but you know, this was a case again of a team looking good on the road against a top 10 opponent, didn't embarrass themselves like I kind of feel like Auburn may have in the past. So earn some respect, number 7 right there, Auburn Tigers.
Number six,
Arkansas. Again, what was the big question coming into this one against Georgia Southern? I keep saying that. The letdown factor after whooping up on Texas. No letdown here. Defense dominated. KJ Jefferson, a little bit of a slow start, but then he just really piled it on. We got Treylon Burks, got him going. Finally, had a 91-yard touchdown. Burks had 336 yards passing, I believe, 3 touchdowns through the air. This is the KJ Jefferson I thought we were getting. That's the one Arkansas needs going into SEC play. So again, the competition was not elite. We took care of business after a big home win. Now you got to do it technically on the road here in Arlington next week against Texas A&M. Cannot wait for that game.
Number 5.
And speaking of the Aggies, let's get to them. Number 5. Again, kind of hovering in this area. Defense dominant. Terry Wilson, remember I said prizepicks.com, one of my favorite selections, 185 passing yards under for Terry Wilson. He had 33. I mean, the defense is lights out here. Zach Calzada found Damon Demas, first career catch, 70-yard touchdown. Weapon emerging there for the Aggies. Spiller had a great game. Anaya Smith had a couple of punt returns, amazing returns. One of them didn't count on a questionable call. The other did. Was just tremendous. I mean, they're flexing their muscle there against New Mexico. Texas A&M struggling. You know, some people saying struggle a little bit. What was the final here? 34-0. I mean, my God, that's struggling. That tells you where the Aggies are right now. 34-0, beating up on New Mexico, heading into SEC play. Great win for the Aggies.
Number 4.
Again, a team moving way up the list here. Despite the loss, Florida Gators. How can you not be impressed with the showing they had against Alabama? Alabama world beaters jumped on the Gators early. Alabama marched right down the field, opening possession, scored a touchdown. Florida making mistakes left and right, missing tackles here and there. Some busting coverage. I believe the score was 21-3 at one point. You just assume, well, the stadium's going to be empty in the second half. This is going to be another laugher. It was the complete opposite. Florida dominated the second half, did whatever the hell they wanted to Alabama's defense. Nick Saban's defense. Credit Dan Mullen and company for making those adjustments. Emory Jones, best game of his career to date. But still, Florida, they went to their bread and butter, ran the ball. The missed PAT, that'll haunt them maybe for the rest of the season. Because had they made that, you know, they could have kicked the PAT to tie the game late. Instead, they had to go for two. Didn't get it. Didn't love the play call. Didn't necessarily hate it either. More the execution of the weird delayed handoff there. And then Emory Jones just followed the running back in. Didn't, you know, like I said, the execution was poor. But if you're running all over Alabama, I don't think you can argue too much with that call of running right back at him. But you come up just short. The swamp showed up in full force. Credit those fans making a difference in this game. And Alabama, you know, I know we all jumped on at the Alabama bandwagon. This is kind of the Alabama I thought we'd be getting here. A little bit more human, a little bit more down to the pack. Again, not saying doom and gloom here for the Crimson Tide. Hell, they're probably still going to be number one in the nation. But, you know, I think we're starting to see some cracks in the armor here a little bit. So, Alabama, we'll get to them in just a moment here, but I got Florida Gators, number four. Number three, Ole Miss. Tricky game here against Tulane. Not for Matt Corral, Lane Kiffin and company. My God, they put up 40 points in the first half against Tulane. And I know Ole Miss does not have the defense you want to be a college football, SEC champion caliber team, but this offense is just incredible. I don't think that anyone is going to be able to slow them down consistently. Not saying that Ole Miss is going to win every damn game or something and score 80 points, but I think they could put up 40, 50 points on damn near everybody. So you got to be able to outscore them. And now that they have a more opportunistic defense, a little bit more veteran defense, I'm not sure that the vast majority of these teams can keep pace with the Ole Miss Rebels. So I'm still loving me some Ole Miss. Now here might get a little controversial.
Number two,
Alabama Crimson Tide. Again, lucky to survive that. I think a lot of Alabama fans feel like they won the game, but it almost feels like a loss here. Bryce Young, not his greatest performance, although by no means did he cost them the game or anything, but the defense, what are we doing here? They're just getting shredded by Emory Jones and this Florida rushing attack. Not a great sign. I'm not particularly thrilled with what we're seeing, and Miami just got worked by Michigan State. So again, the resume is not looking too great. And before you jump on me, go back and watch the Mercer game. I mean, they didn't even look that great against Mercer. Again, I know they lost focus. Clearly, different story here against Florida, different story against Miami, but that's a sign of a lack of maturity and experience. I don't think last season's Alabama would have struggled with Mercer. They would have went out and won 60-0, and we would have never referenced that game again, but it was a little bit of a struggle there against Mercer, particularly in that first half. So, I don't know. I don't think this is necessarily a lock to win SEC, a lock to win the national championship like so many do. So, of course, the only team I haven't mentioned, the Georgia Bulldogs.
Number one.
I mean, they're still not full strength on offense, and they just tore through South Carolina like they weren't even there. And this is a South Carolina team, again, I know there was a massive underdogs, 32-point underdogs, but they were 2-0. They were fighting hard. They've got some SEC players. Josh Van looked outstanding. The defense, I can't say they stood strong, but hell, they continue to fight here, particularly the front seven of South Carolina's defense, yet it didn't matter. I mean, Georgia's front seven is just incredible. JT Daniels back in the lineup, looking pretty good. For some damn reason, Kirby Smart put in Stetson Bennett, give him some reps, comes right in, throws an immediate interception. If I see Stetson Bennett on the field again, I may drop Georgia down to number two again. Stick with your damn guy there, Kirby. What the hell are you doing? JT Daniels is your quarterback. Stop all this nonsense. Got to get him in gear for some of these big games that he's obviously going to be needed. And Stetson Bennett, we know what he can do. He can beat the hell out of UAB. There's no more UAB on the schedule here. It's SEC and Georgia Tech down the way here. So stop fooling around with that, and I think you'll win the East. You'll win the SEC. At least that's how I've got it here in my power rankings. But that's going to do it. Hope you guys enjoyed the nightcap. Drink one with me here and complain in the comments.
My friend stole my sweetheart from me. I remember the night and the Tennessee waltz. Now I know just how much I have lost. Yes, I lost my little darling the night they were playing the beautiful Tennessee waltz. My door, the leaves. look for a little fun, but I find a darkened corner, 'cause I still miss someone. Though I never got over those blue eyes, I see them everywhere. I miss those arms that held me when all the love was there. And I wonder if he's sorry for leaving what we had begun. There's someone someone. Yes, there's someone.